The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
And now, The Trumpet Daily with Stephen Flurry.
Hello again, everyone, and welcome back to the Trumpet Daily Radio Show. We're broadcasting to you live from our Edmond studio, our headquarters studio here in central Oklahoma. Beautiful Tuesday morning out there today. Still pretty moist from all the rain over the weekend, but a really beautiful day. We have a lot to get to on today's program. We'll be talking a little bit about President Trump's re-election bid. I guess that begins tonight. I think everyone outside of America looks at that political process and just shakes their head thinking about how early they start campaigning. Here we are, a year and a half or so away from the 2020 election. But that's what it takes. You're talking about billions of dollars spent. And we'll talk a little bit about this Democratic ad campaign that's already off and running. They don't even know who their candidate's going to be. They don't even know, I guess they know the front runner, Joe Biden, and then some that follow after him. But they're already pulling together tens of millions of dollars in an effort to stop Donald Trump. We'll look at that a little bit later. As well as the coming debt bomb. It is a bomb right now. It's just hasn't yet exploded. We'll play a clip from PragerU, I think a recent video that they put together on the debt crisis that the United States is facing. You might have seen some news items yesterday, too, regarding the troop buildup in the Middle East. I think that was even commented on at the top of the hour. And then Iran is stepping up its enrichment of uranium. So the so-called deal between the United States and Iran, or Western nations and Iran, that's collapsing before our eyes. Of course, the U.S. has already pulled out of that. And then we'll also look at what Europe is doing in response to this escalating crisis in the Middle East. They're certainly not standing behind the United States. And, of course, that's significant, too, from a prophetic standpoint. In the Bible study, the second segment today, we'll delve as deeply as we can, at least here at the start, into the mind of God. I thought I'd begin with this. This is more of a news or news of the work update. Brent Nachtigall sent us this yesterday from our Jerusalem office. In April, we sent the exhibit brochure to the Israeli Prime Minister's office. The exhibit has since concluded here in Edmond. I think it went on for about 11 months. But this archaeological exhibit, we sent the brochure to the Prime Minister's office, as I say, a couple of months ago. And then we got back this response from his office. I think this is coming from his deputy cabinet secretary, who wrote just a few weeks ago. We just received the letter recently. But it says here, we acknowledge receipt of your letter dated April 2nd, 2019, to Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, and a copy of the Armstrong International Cultural Foundation's publication, Seals of Isaiah and King Hezekiah Discovered. It says the exhibit you helped curate provided a unique opportunity to learn more about the rich history of the Jewish people in the land of Israel, one that dates back 3,000 years. This deputy cabinet secretary says these latest findings are even more proof of the Jewish people's longstanding and abiding connection to the city of Jerusalem, our eternal capital. We thank you for your important work and wish you continued success. So it just reminds me, I think, of it was just a year ago when we had that ceremony, which was connected Jerusalem together with Edmond. I think that was June 10th, where we kicked off the exhibit. And here we are a year later. And of course, even as you go back to that ceremony last year, we had such positive coverage coming from the Israeli media. We had a nice interview with the Times of Israel, as I recall, and then several that came from the community to support Dr. Mazar and to support this exhibit. Dr. Michael Oren was there, remember, giving a speech. We played some of that for you on the program a year ago. And so it's nice just to put the finishing touches on it. It's nice to get this official response. We don't know for sure, of course, if President, or rather Prime Minister Netanyahu himself, looked at the brochure. But we know that it got through to his office, and they seem very appreciative for the work that that we've been doing with the seals of Isaiah and King Hezekiah discovered. So that's some really positive news coming from our office in Jerusalem. Well, speaking of that part of the world, as I said at the top of the show, the tensions continue to escalate between the United States and the Islamic Republic of Iran. Yesterday, the United States announced that it would send another 1,000 troops. This is obviously not a massive troop buildup, and the U.S. is saying this is purely for defensive measures. But as I said on yesterday's show, there have been movements of late in recent months to increase the naval presence of the United States in that region. But this, again, this is on the 1,000 that were announced yesterday. That's on top of 1,500 from a few weeks ago. And as I said on yesterday's show, you had the attack on those two oil tankers near the Strait of Hormuz just last week. And, of course, anyone that that has eyes to see understands and knows that Iran was behind those attacks last week. And yet, if you look at Europe, really, they're not backing the United States. Germany's foreign minister, Heiko Maas, he said that he didn't really trust what the United States was saying on this. So he doesn't take the U.S. intel community's assessment. And really, that's quite a statement for Germany to come out. There's even Democrats. I think I saw Adam Schiff where he said, well, yeah, the evidence is overwhelming that Iran was behind this. But Germany's skeptical. They can't trust United States intelligence, certainly not under Donald Trump. Isn't it interesting when you look at Mr. Trump's enemies? The intel community, now that Mr. Trump's in office, you can't trust them. Of course, when Barack Obama was in there, then of course you can trust everything that they say. You go back before Obama to President Bush, and well, you can't trust them there either. Remember weapons of mass destruction and all of that. So it just flip-flops back and forth depending upon who's in the White House. It's crazy. Well, meanwhile, you have Iran continuing to push and push and push. They're prophesied to do that. Daniel 11 says so. And they've announced that they're stepping up their enrichment of uranium. So that I guess in just the next few days, they're going to officially break their part in the nuclear deal. So that's a significant development here as well. Again, what is Europe thinking? We know where the Trump administration stands. But what will Europe do? When will Europe, when will Germany wake up to what's happening in the Middle East? This is the announcement from, I think, an Iranian representative. We have quadrupled the rate of enrichment of uranium and even increased it more recently so that in 10 days it will bypass the 300 kg limit. So escalation of tensions, to be sure. In the Middle East, there's some other news items here on Europe working together. The nations of Europe, Germany and France, of course, typically lead the way. But Germany, France, together with Spain, they signed an agreement recently to work together on a next-generation fighter plane at the that was at the Paris Air Show recently. The German defense minister, Ursula von der Leyen, she said it was a big day for the European Defense Union. This project includes plans for a combat system that they could use to control drones and satellites and such. And if you, again, have been reading the Trumpet magazine, there's other things that have been announced recently as well. But my father wrote in an article This is just recently, February 2019. He said France is already taking concrete steps to build a European army alongside Germany. Perhaps this is why Macron is so bold as to criticize the U.S. His criticisms imply that Europe no longer needs NATO because it is building its own army. France and Germany, my father wrote, are also collaborating on the development of new weapons and weapons manufacturing. So there was a temporary, I guess, improvement in the relationship when you had all of the ceremony surrounding the 75th anniversary of Normandy. But it's important to step back and to look at what's been happening between the United States and Europe since, especially since Donald Trump came into office. Again, tensions everywhere you look in the world, tensions. My father, in that February piece, he talked about, again, some of the combined projects France and Germany are working on. There's a project for a new tank and a new artillery system. He mentioned the fighter jet project as well. My father said France and Germany are also collaborating on the development of a new weapons and weapons manufacturing. He went on to say, France really does love Germany. You can see it in these important joint ventures. Some would dismiss it, I know, saying that, well, it's not huge yet. It's certainly not on the level of what's happening at the Pentagon or what the U.S. is spending on military or military hardware. But these relationships, these joint ventures, they reveal a lot. In that February piece, my father referred back to the writings of Herbert Armstrong as early as 1953. This is quoted in that article about the European nations combining their forces, consolidating their forces so that they can build a superpower, so that they can compete with the United States of America. He goes through, of course, a number of critical prophecies in that February issue of the Trumpet as well. So I'll just refer you back to my father's article. I didn't jot down the title, but it's from the February 2019 Trumpet. There was a story yesterday, too, coming out from the Supreme Court where it was Justice Thomas, Clarence Thomas, who called on his colleagues to overturn, quote, demonstrably erroneous decisions. And, of course, this triggered a lot of reaction from the media. They're worried. They're worried that Roe v. Wade, which goes back to 1973, and Mr. Thomas pointed out, no matter how long-standing the bad law has been, we've got to be able to overturn it to get back to the rule of law. He didn't come out and comment on Roe v. Wade specifically, but we have seen some overtures by states in the Southeast of late where they really have tried to curtail or pull back so-called abortion rights. You talk about, and there's so many of them, aren't there, contentious issues that divide the people of America, whether it's over race or class or religion. But you add abortion to the mix, who knows what might could happen from the Supreme Court regarding Roe v. Wade back from 1973. But it certainly is an issue that gets a lot of people very angry. I saw yesterday, too, where James Clapper was on CNN talking about, well, there was that New York Times story, remember, over the weekend, I guess it was, where it talked about intel being hidden from the Trump administration because of concerns that, Donald Trump might countermand it or leak it. And here is James Clapper, the leaker-in-chief. Here was James Clapper on CNN saying that, well, I've heard that the intel community, it does conceal certain things from President Trump because they're concerned about the Trump administration leaking things. He's on CNN. He's the one that leaked the dossier story. He's the one that leaked. Remember all of the meetings, January 5th and 6th, I guess it was, or 4th and 5th, 2017. And then James Clapper working in cahoots with CNN, Jake Tapper and the others at the time. And now he comes out talking about, well, how the Trump administration, they do leak. So we have to be careful what we can reveal to them. The deep state, as I tell my staff often, it's deep. It runs deep. We're working on an article, by the way. I just talked to Andrew Miller, one of our staff writers at the Trumpet, about all of these Obama officials, Clapper's one of them, and how that they've gone on to positions. Okay, so some of the swamp is being drained, as President Trump promised. He's getting rid of them, but look at where they end up. Clapper moves on to CNN. Brennan moves on to MSNBC. A lot of the Obama officials move on to Silicon Valley. Google, YouTube, all of those big Facebook, social media sites. Obama works for Netflix. Someone else, I think, close to him. Susan Rice, is it? Netflix, media, entertainment, the news, MSNBC, CNN. They don't go away. That's the point. They might get fired from the FBI. They might lose their security access at the CIA. But they keep working to undermine the institutions of the United States of America, to undermine the Constitution. I'll be anxious to see that article, as it appears maybe in the Trumpet at some point. The deep state, it runs deep. President Trump, as I said, he's kicking off his reelection bid tonight in Orlando. And coinciding with this, the Democrats are launching a major ad campaign because they want to take down Donald Trump. And they're doing anything that they can. They don't quite have the support that they were hoping for with respect to impeachment. I think there was a story recently that, again, they write the headlines that they think will influence people. Well, there's a greater percentage that are supportive of impeachment. And you start reading into it a few paragraphs in and you find out that it's gone up from whatever, 21% to 27%. That's it. A fourth. Which means that about three-fourths of the country is dead set against it. So here comes the ad campaign, $150 million ad campaign to take out Donald Trump. And then the stories from yesterday, the last few days, in fact, all of the news media together saying that, well, isn't this great? It's poll after poll after poll is showing that Donald Trump's, he's running way behind. He's 10% behind Biden. He's 5% behind so-and-so. They're so excited about this. They have such short memories. Leading up to 2016, remember the polls? Remember the polls just recently with respect to the Israeli election? As I've said before, why is it always tilted in the direction of Democrats, of the radical left? They're always leading in the polls. And of course, President Trump, and he has good reason to dismiss them or to say that they're fake news, they're fake polls. Because those polls didn't exactly have it right in 2016. This is, it's actually from MSNBC, but it includes a clip from, again, the Stephanopoulos interview with the president. It's unbelievable how much access the Trump administration granted him. There's pictures of him in the car with George Stephanopoulos in the Oval Office, sitting down in a formal interview. I guess it went on for hours and hours and hours. But here's an exchange included in this MSNBC clip between Stephanopoulos and President Trump regarding all of these polls. Clip one.
Even your own polls show you're behind right now, don't they?
No, my polls show that I'm winning everywhere.
I don't know. We've all seen these reports that with 15 out of 17 states, you spent $2 million on a poll and you're behind in 15 out of 17 states.
Nobody showed you those polls because those polls don't exist, George. Those polls don't exist. But I just had a meeting with somebody that's a pollster, and I'm winning everywhere. But we're getting tremendous polls.
Those poll results so irritating to the president that a few seconds later, he has to go off the record to call his campaign manager.
Okay, so hold it off for a little while. Just call Brad on the phone, and I want to ask him that question, okay?
Meanwhile, the Fox News polls finding that President Trump is trailing several of his 2020 Democratic contenders.
With former Vice President Joe Biden topping Trump by 10 points, 49% to 39%. Senator Bernie Sanders leads Trump by 9 points, while Senator Elizabeth Warren has a 2-point edge.
That's from MSNBC, the Morning Joe panel. So excited. 10% lead. Wow. And here we are, a year and a half out. 10%. And the president saying, look, those polls don't exist. Don't believe it. Don't believe it. But he's so worried, says Stephanopoulos. And you notice, too, how that this Stephanopoulos thing, they're every single outtake. There was the the chief of staff the other day who was coughing. And the president said, look, let's run this again. This is part of the interview. They're taping it. They're recording it. Let's run it again because he was coughing in the background and that's distracting. So he has the guy leave the room, and then that's the news. That's what's covered. The outtake. The president saying, look, he's coughing. This is distracting. And you saw the clip there in the car. Wait, hold on a second. Let's turn off the cameras and we'll call one of my aides and see about these polls. And they include that. That's the news. You see their goal, their objective. They're all working together on this. The goal is to take him down, to make him look bad in any way that you can. Including one story after another, after another, after another. That's media made. It's created by the media. It's not even a news event. Not at all. So here's Jake Tapper over at CNN, and he's quick to point out the cascade of lies coming from the Trump administration with respect to these polls. Clip two.
President Trump again today warning his followers on Twitter not to believe any, quote, fake polls showing him trailing any of the Democrats. But the president's definition of fake polls apparently means polls he does not like. Sources tell CNN the president's been angry for days over the leaking of internal polling data from March showing the president trailing Joe Biden in hypothetical matchups in key battleground states. The New York Times first reported the existence of these ugly numbers, followed by CNN, which was then followed by this lie.
There were fake polls that were released by somebody that is, it's ridiculous. No, we are winning in every single state that we've polled.
Comes back from that, and of course he says, that's not true. Cascade of lies. This is a theme that we keep seeing from the Trump presidency. His aides, they don't know how to deal with them. He's a mercurial boss. He's untethered to facts, says Jake Tapper. How many times have the polls been wrong? Here are all these media voices, every one of them, giddy with excitement over the thought of President Trump being voted out of office, losing in a landslide. Just look at the facts on the ground. Look at some of the images you see. Look at a Joe Biden rally. I think it was one of the Fox reporters the other day that said there were 85 people in attendance at a rally. This is the front runner. This is the one who's 10 percentage points ahead of Donald Trump. And meanwhile, as I say, you look at President Trump, he's kicking off his reelection bid tonight in Orlando, Florida. and they started lining up for this soon after midnight, Sunday night, almost 2 days in advance. They're lining up. 100,000 people have signed up to see the president in Orlando tonight. I think he's meeting in an arena that seats about 17, 18,000 people. There's talk of putting jumbotrons up outside for the people that can't get in. Tens of thousands of people. Well, let's see it. Let's look at the footage tonight. Maybe we don't know. Maybe these are just guesses. 10,000, 20,000, whatever. But you can be sure there's going to be some coverage of what the president says tonight. He's going to say things that his enemies absolutely hate. They'll dissect every little word that he uses. But just look at the crowd and compare it to any of the other rallies of any of the other candidates. It says a lot. Well, that's what was happening in 2016, remember? Everywhere he was going, such enthusiastic support. Now, again, I know there's a lot of people that absolutely hate this president, but there are a lot of people that really like what he's doing as well. One last item here on the economy. This from France 24. It says, after an initial bounce in 2018 and the first 3 months of 2019, the economy is expected to slow this year. It says, and the U.S. budget deficit is steadily widening, the yawning gap edging closer to $1 trillion after trending downward from its peak in 2009. People are asleep to this development. They don't care. That's brought out on the PragerU video clip we'll play here in just a second. They don't care about this threat, this time bomb, a ticking time bomb. It says, at the same time, government debt is expanding and now is larger than the country's annual economic output at more than $22 trillion. Another article here says, in the same way that Wall Street and other markets have blithely shrugged off the threat of an all-out trade conflagration, they have paid little heed to the mounting, or rather the mountain of global debt. Yet alarm is spreading among officials and economists. There's a debt crisis. Well, there's many of them around the world. The United States is leading the way, but as I said yesterday, other nations are suffering as well. Here's a clip from that PragerU video on the U.S. debt, clip 3.
The national debt currently stands at $22 trillion. That's trillion with a T. 10 years ago, it was $10 trillion. 10 years from now, it's projected to be $34 trillion. The interest payment on our debt is currently $300 billion per year, heading towards a projected $1 trillion within a decade. At that point, a fifth of all federal taxes will go towards the interest on the debt. Not education, infrastructure, and defense. You know, the stuff government is supposed to do. And that's with historically low interest rates. Imagine if those rates normalized. Well, maybe you don't want to imagine it, because that picture is very dark. In a better world, voters would be marching on Washington demanding that our politicians dig us out of this hole before we're buried in it. In the real world, almost no one cares. But we should care. And any thinking person, left or right, understands why. No individual and no nation can accumulate debt indefinitely.
No nation can sustain this. And yet a lot of people believe that it is sustainable, that we'll just continue on. Where are the voters? Marching in droves, protesting against the debt that we're leaving to our children. You don't see them. In a better world, you would see them, as was brought out there. But in the real world, people don't care. This article says, already, recorded debt levels suggest another crisis could occur as the global economy slows Yet official data may not be telling the whole story, and on it goes. Well, we'll certainly keep our eye on that. We've had a lot of articles over the years on this. And again, people can dismiss it and say, well, it has sustained. It's been sustained for these couple of decades that you've been talking about it. But if you, well, no individual can sustain it or accumulate this kind of debt indefinitely, and certainly no nation can either. When we come back, we'll conclude today's program with our Bible study, our deep dive into the mind of God. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily Radio Show. We'll be right back.
This is KPCG-FM, and this is the Trumpet Daily.
To America's founding fathers, character meant everything to the success of the nation and its leadership. The Constitution was based upon the fundamental principles of religion and morality. These were the primary building blocks of the American nation. George Washington said, "The foundations of our national policy will be laid in the pure and immutable principles of private morality." Character was no minor issue to America's first president. He regarded it as the basis of national policy. Where did the founding fathers develop these ideas? Many of these principles stemmed from the Holy Scriptures. The Bible provided early Americans with the instruction and guidance of how to properly govern one's life. These beliefs helped build a nation of strong families and upright leaders. Today, America has dismissed the Bible as the foundation of developing righteous character. Men now leave it to themselves to determine right from wrong. Where has the rejection of biblically based principles led this nation? There is a cause for these effects. To understand the course of events that have led this nation to its current state, visit thetrumpet.com and click on the literature tab to request our free booklet, Character in Crisis.
Trumpet Daily.
Over the years on this show, we've regularly referred to verses that talk about our upside down society, and we've pointed to a number of news items that bear this out. The collapse of the traditional family. Melanie Phillips wrote about this recently. We've quoted from her numerous times on this program. There's quite a few stories coming out on abortion. I mentioned that Clarence Thomas comment yesterday. But when you look at some of the facts, 800,000 abortions happening in America every year, 800,000, almost a million. Worldwide, it's estimated to be 40 to 50 million abortions every single year. And then look at the indoctrination. Children, little children, as we've written before, kindergartners being educated, quote unquote, in transgenderism, in dysfunctional families. There was a story not that long ago, I think we touched on it on this show, about the just the increasing popularity of cosmetics for men. Men who want to wear makeup. And then look at news media. Look at Hollywood glorifying things like drug addiction or marijuana. We drove by some kind of cannabis store just the other day here in Edmond. That was a shock for me to see it. But I guess it's just becoming the norm in Canada, in the United States. In Great Britain, you can smell the smoke from marijuana smoking on the streets of London. That's becoming one of the dominant odors in the city of London, the city that so many people celebrate as one of the great cities of the world. We celebrate socialism. Here in the United States, it's becoming more and more popular. You have the old guard in the Democrat Party, Joe Biden, Nancy Pelosi, and they're succumbing to pressure, in many cases coming from the young guns, AOC and others, who are out there talking about the Green New Deal and all of these other trillion-dollar programs. Handouts for everyone, even the ones who don't want to work. We'll pay for it. We'll give it to you. Just give the government more authority, more power. Just increase the line of credit, and we'll solve all the problems of this world. Look at the movement to erase our history. Tear down monuments. Take the history classes out of university. Going back to all of these Democrat presidential candidates. How crazy is it for them to be out on the campaign trail, these older white men or middle-aged white men, apologizing for being white, apologizing for their white male privilege? It's upside down. It's crazy. I mentioned drug addiction. There's something like 200 people that die from overdoses every day. And those numbers just keep going up. In the first segment, I talked about the debt crisis. $22 trillion. In a recent program, I've talked about the addiction to video games, Fortnite, and other games like that. And then the popularity, the rising popularity of the occult, Satanism, Wicca, witchcraft, astrology, all of these things. Isaiah said in Isaiah 29:16, surely your turning of things upside down shall be esteemed as the potter's clay. For shall the work say of him that made it, he made me not? Or shall the thing framed say of him that framed it, he has no understanding? Turning things upside down. There's evidence all around that this is not God's world. This is Satan's world. Satan's world is upside down. It's because of Satan that people are not thinking straight. It's because of the devil and his demons that there's no understanding, that there's no wisdom, that there's no logic, or even common sense. We've lost it. We've lost the affection, it says in a New Testament prophecy. We've lost the affection for what used to be just natural, a natural affection. We don't even have that. God says the truth has been cast to the ground. That's in the prophet Isaiah's book as well. He says our thinking is dark and perverse. It's foolish. It's shallow. He talks about our reprobate minds in Romans 1. Well, we can actually read a couple of verses from Romans 1. This is verse 21. It says, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were they thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. So we didn't glorify God. We didn't thank God. And because of this, our thinking became futile, empty, shallow, perverse. Well, there's lots of pride. There's lots of self-confidence. But there's very little of God's thinking, God's reasoning, God's truth, God's knowledge. Verse 22 says, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. That's what we see, just a lot of nonsense, a lot of foolishness. All of these people who are so arrogant, so sure, they know what's going to happen. They know the polls are right. They know the president's this or the president's that. They know. If they get it wrong again, do you suppose they'll be remorseful? Do you suppose they'll come out and say, well, I got to hand it to Donald Trump. He was right about the polls again. There will be none of that. The proverb says, he that trusts in his own heart is a fool, but whoso walks wisely, he shall be delivered. Isaiah, the prophet, he said, woe unto them that call evil good and good evil. Woe unto them. It's an upside down world, and you can call evil good if you want. A lot of people do, but woe unto you if you do it. Where is this leading? Verse 28, it says, and since they did not see fit to acknowledge God, God gave them up to a base mind and to improper conduct. The King James, that's from the Revised Standard Version. The King James says, reprobate mind. That means a mind without understanding. That means a mind that's void of judgment. That's what we see. Mr. Armstrong wrote in Mystery of the Ages, he said, little or nothing is taught about God. He's talking about education today. This is in 1985. That's when Mystery of the Ages came out. You wonder what Mr. Armstrong would say about it today. Satan's been cast down. His demons are confined to this earth. But he wrote, little or nothing is taught about God, but even in the elementary grades, the basic concept, the approach to knowledge, is evolution. Is it any wonder, then, that the scholarly do not know who and what God is? They believe what they've been taught. This has been going on for generations now. And so man is lacking the most essential knowledge there is, the knowledge of God and His truth, revealed knowledge coming from God. Man doesn't have it. And so he's groping in the dark. He's tripping over every single obstacle along the way. God says, this is through the prophet Isaiah, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, says the Eternal. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. What does that say? That's from Isaiah 55. What does that say about the separation between God's thinking and man's thinking? Has it ever been this wide? What we're seeing here today, it's such a modern world, so sophisticated, so advanced with technology, but look at how far removed we are from our Creator. God says, my thoughts are not your thoughts. Neither are your ways my ways. And then he gives us this analogy so that we can understand just how far removed we are from God, our Creator. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. So how do we draw near to God and receive understanding and wisdom and instruction from Him? Well, there is a way. There is a way. It's going to take some diligence on our part, some diligent study like the Bereans in Acts 17. It's going to take some humility. It's going to take a submissive attitude. It's going to take a miracle, in fact. God opening our minds to the riches and depths of His glory, His glorious truth, His godly mindset, His divine nature. At the ministerial conference we had back in January, the ministers of the Philadelphia Church of God assembling here in Edmond, Oklahoma, we heard quite a bit about God's way of thinking. One minister in particular gave a lecture on the spirit of godly thinking. My father delved into two beautiful psalms, Psalm 19 and Psalm 119. That was a deep dive into the mind of God. And so we've been admonished to go deeply into God's thinking, to work harder at thinking like God, acquiring this godly mind. I've mentioned my father's meditation tapes. These are his tapes from, I think most of them are from the 1980s, when he was driving around his ministerial circuit in the northwest of the United States, Washington State. I think he got into Canada just a little bit as well, but he had four congregations in eastern Washington. And when he was driving from place to place, ministerial visits, of course, going to congregations, he would record some of his thoughts. And in one section, he says, one thing we have to do if we're going to really grow is continually strain to get away from the natural, habitual way of thinking and doing things. We simply cannot think naturally. We have to break out of that if we're going to excel and really grow. We can't just go with the flow. We can't just think naturally. We have to set our minds. Colossians 3 brings this out. We have to set our minds on the things above. We have to set our minds on God's thinking, learning to think like God, learning to narrow that gap between the way we think, the way that comes natural for us, and the way that God thinks. You look at some of the examples in the Bible. The Bible says King David, for example, had a heart like God's. That's obviously not talking about the heart organ. It's talking about his mind. It's talking about his essence, his nature. God praised him. God honored David because he had a mind like God. He thought like God. He had God's nature. And that's what we're here learning to do. Learning to think like God. And we try to find that balance at thetrumpet.com and even on this program. Sometimes it's easy to maybe delve a little bit too much into the upside down world, as I said at the start of the segment. But Jesus did say to watch world events, watch and pray. It does sober us when we see how upside down this world is. It's sobering, and it makes you cry out to God for his intervention in human affairs. But you know, the other thing that it ought to do is it ought to motivate us to think straight, to think right, to think like the Father. Spiritually oriented thinking, sharp, even sharp, incisive, clear thinking today. It's a lost art. You don't see it. There's a lot of muddled thinking in the world of today. A lot of people, when they do have a deep thought, it's just something that they've borrowed from someone else. And that's what modern education in many ways teaches. It doesn't teach you how to think. It teaches you how to follow. I heard a video just this morning. Campus Reform, I think it was. This guy going all through the campus saying, who are you going to vote for? If it's between Biden and Trump, who would you vote for? Every single one of them said Biden. And then the follow-up question was, well, who do you think said this statement? And they were all either racially insensitive statements or I don't know what it was. But anyway, they were negative statements that made the individual look bad. And they all said, oh, well, surely Donald Trump said it. And they were all statements from Joe Biden. They're just programmed. They've been programmed to think that, well, okay, Donald Trump is the racist, so he obviously said this. And then when they get down to the actual statements themselves, their eyes are opened to how they've been brainwashed. That's the way it is in the university today. They teach you how to follow the crowd, how to follow the pack. It's much different at God's college. our students come here, and of course, a lot of it's on them. Everyone's at a different level. Some really deeply convert to God's way of life, maybe a little bit sooner than others. But on the whole, you see young people, you find young people here at God's College. They're being taught how to think like God. They're being taught how to develop good thinking skills, to think for themselves, to prove it for themselves. Ultimately, we're being trained to think like God. That's the ultimate challenge. It's a wonderful, rewarding challenge at that. We've put so much of the focus in recent months on reading and study because that's so important when it comes to developing this ability. You think about someone that, let's say you hear from a young person, well, I don't like reading. I don't like history. Well, unless you change that, are you really going to be able to fall in love with God's truth, with Bible history? Will you really get excited about loving the truth in the many booklets that we've produced in this church? Hundreds of magazines, hundreds of books and booklets to help you, tools to help you understand the truth of God. That's why we've been telling our young people, look, you better develop a love for learning and for study, and for history now while you're young. So that then as you get older and you get more depth to your thinking and you prepare for baptism and the receipt of God's Holy Spirit, you can take some of those habits and just move forward in understanding the mind of God. Isaiah 55 here, I read a few verses a moment ago. This is verse 6. It says, seek the eternal while he may be found. You see, seek him. Go after him. Do it while you can. Do it while he may be found. It says, call you upon him while he is near. See, there doesn't have to be this wide separation between God's thoughts and our own. If you seek after him, you can find him. Now, you've got to take some action. This passage brings that out. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the eternal, and he will have mercy upon him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. We've got to learn to forsake even our own thoughts. And so much of this depends on what we do with God's truth. So much of it depends on what we do with what we're hearing, with what we're seeing. Forsake. That means to let it go, to run from it, to remove it. Forsake those thoughts. And then when you think about how merciful and loving God will be as he welcomes us into his family and begins to teach us and to show us his ways and to help us learn to even think like God. We have to seek him, though, while he might be found. We have to hunger and thirst for God's righteousness. We have to hunger and thirst for God's thinking. We have to surrender to God in humility. I'll talk more about that on tomorrow's program. Humility and submission. Turn to God in repentance and faith. Of course, we have to start by obeying God and his laws as well. That's how we start to think like God. The fear of the eternal is the beginning of wisdom, it says in the Proverbs. It starts with fear, godly fear, not human fear. It starts with godly fear. It starts with submission to our God, the Father in heaven. That's where we begin, and as we continue with our study, we'll try to make this even more practical as we go through these helpful steps, point by point. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily Radio Show. If you'd like to email the program, you can send feedback to td@kpcg.fm. Thank you for joining us today, and we'll see you tomorrow.